You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
People. The criminal defense attorney said he wasn't surprised by the reaction as people took the easy route and simply cried racism, rather than taking the time to think about the bigger issue he may have been raising.
And I knew that I could just bait all of y'all into just being as stupid as you are. Just allowing the issue to be framed in the most simple way. Oh, he said an offensive term. Let's not worry about the actual condition of the way things are. Let's worry about an offensive term.
You can always find more special interest stories, news, and headlines online at usaheadlinenews.com.
Did you get a new job last year? Or did you not get a new job because on the way to the interview you remembered you're terrible at interviews, so you hired a guy off the internet to do the interview for you and didn't really think it through because he got the job and is now very happy in his new position? Huh. No matter what you went through last year, answering questions like, did you get a new job, is much simpler. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
One of the most decorated ships of World War II is now serving as an educational tool for younger generations. USA's Russ Jones recently toured the battleship North Carolina and brings us this report.
Following World War II, battleship North Carolina was decommissioned and almost scrapped. Heather Lofton, promotions director for battleship North Carolina, contends that in 1961, citizens of North Carolina launched the Save Our Ship campaign.
They didn't have Skype. They didn't have FaceTime. They didn't have a lot of those other ways to connect back to their families. And I don't think that generations today understand not having that instant gratification of getting in touch with somebody.
Unlike other museums, the ship is interactive and elicits various emotions.
Some of them, it's very close to them. They find their role of honor, and then they really do just kind of tear up. Others, they just have excitement that, to be aboard something that means so much.
The majestic memorial rests as an attraction along North Carolina's Cape Fear River. I'm Russ Jones.
Allergy sufferers tend to pay as much attention to the pollen count this time of year as their NCAA tournament bracket. Taking medication helps, but you can also put together a game plan of avoidance measures to help your symptoms on high pollen count days. Dr. David Lang with the Cleveland Clinic says even though it may be early in the season, the best thing you can do is run the air conditioning.
So the avoidance measure of relevance is air conditioning. With the air conditioning out and the windows closed, you cut down on the pollen count indoors by 90% or more.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Today, mostly sunny, high near 39. Tonight, partly cloudy, low in the teens. Sunny on Tuesday, high in the mid-40s. Clear on the overnight Tuesday, low in the 20s. Wednesday, chance of snow before 2 p.m., changing over to rain. Otherwise, sunny with a high near 48. Wednesday night, slight chance of rain. Otherwise, cloudy, low in the 40s. Thursday, showers likely mainly in the morning, and then a high actually close to the 60s. Thursday night, chance of showers, mostly cloudy, low around 39. Friday, clearing up, high in the 50s. Cloudy on the overnight, low in the upper 20s, and then looks clear for the weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hey, welcome to the table here, Chef Bill. coming to you every Monday around this time, talking about food, drinks, anything else that comes across our table. The chef here locally at Jake's Restaurant. Like to remind everybody out there listening that Restaurant Week, if you haven't heard already, Flemington Restaurant Week, mainly in the borough, but a few township restaurants are participating also. And Jake's being one of them. We'll do a dinner, little fixed price offering, $24.95. We'll have some wines on special, three courses. So it's a first course, main course, and dessert, which represents kind of a good little deal there. Chance to try some new items, or if you happen to stop in and not going for the special, of course, full menu is always available. And we will be offering them through the weekend. So, plenty of chances to come in. So, this last week, eating the year as we work our way through and having fun with this book. Yesterday was World Water Day, which water, as we know, is very important in our life, but also in cooking. Of course, it's a main ingredient for many things, and really beverages, it's most of the ingredients. So deserves some attention. Of course, clean, potable water is really not an abundance of it out there. It's getting a little bit scarce, even though there's plenty of water. We have to, I guess, figure out how to desalinate the ocean water inexpensively, and then we'll be okay. But it's a constant battle with some nations. As I was reading, more people have access to cell phones than to a good water supply. So need to pay attention to it, take care of it. It's a precious natural resource. So World Water Day yesterday. Today is Chip and Dip Day. The 24th, chocolate-covered raisins. The 25th, Waffles Day. Waffles are always good, breakfast or lunch. 26th, spinach. We celebrate spinach on the 26th. 27th, Spanish paella, which we'll talk about today. Very nice dish. One-dish meal. Traditionally lunch in Spain, but of course it's good any time. 28th, something on a stick day, which I guess with the county fair season on the horizon there, that seems to be favorite foods. And then 29th, lemon chiffon cake. Chiffon cake developed, forget the gentleman's name, but I think it was to make the cake lighter. Would use shortening instead of butter in the recipe, and then instead of whole eggs, would separate the eggs and add, of course, the egg yolks to the batter, and then whip the egg whites and fold them in. Makes a nice light cake. And of course, we can do that when we talk about souffles and other things. Always, even our Adirondack flapjack batter up Mirror Lake Inn was famous for the part of the leavening, besides the baking powder, was whipped egg whites, keep it nice and fluffy. I thought our little wild time had just begun. And we're kind of working our way through the alphabet here. H, letter H. Kind of hard to find much in the way of equipment and utensils. Of course, a hand mixer comes to mind. And a hamburger press, which, you know, I guess one of those unitaskers there, if you feel the need to portion and press a burger. And of course, some chefs will tell you not to compact the hamburger too much. Of course, you want it to stick together, but the more you work the meat, it kind of makes it a little bit stronger in structure, as they say. I know with a meatloaf, I would mix it fairly well. If you're making, say, a a meatball or a sausage. You want to mix the meat till it's almost a little bit sticky so it holds together well. And then the honey pot. Of course, honey, great ingredient, natural sweetener. Think of it this time of year when the bees are pollinating. Apparently, honey, good honey's in short supply. Of course, I guess the bees are not doing too well either with all the pesticides out there. You have to kind of watch it with honey. I think there's some scams out there that are pulled off with honey. Honey's one of those great local products and takes on the flavor of course, the flower source or whatever plants were used to make the honey. And you can usually a single source, either a single plant or a region, an area would be designated, but a lot of honey is blended. And of course, could be a little bit thick, a little thin. The colors are all different. One of those things, and supposedly it's one of those substances, keeps at room temperature for quite a long time. Natural preservative, I imagine. But honey is, it's got fructose and sucrose in it, but great natural sweetener. We like it because it's liquid, and of course it's not inexpensive, but also adds body to whatever you're sweetening because of the thickness of it. So if you want to get away from the corn syrup and high fructose corn syrup, things like that that supposedly aren't good for us in great quantities, honey would be the way to go. And we're doing a honey sriracha sauce for fried chicken this week at Jake's. Pretty simple, equal parts melted butter. I use clarified butter, so there's no milk solids in it. And honey, and then the sriracha, the Thai red chili paste. Equal amounts work. You can cut a little bit back on the sriracha if you don't want it too hot. And then I put a dash of soy in just for some salt, because especially if you're using unsalted butter, the clarified butter, you need a little bit of salt in there. And the soy seems to help out. But you blend it well and keep it fairly warm so the honey flows. You can refrigerate it, of course, but with the butter and the honey in there, you have to kind of warm it back up to get it to flow. But I guess I know with fried wings, I guess the honey and hot sauce seems to be a popular one. I think they call it bee sting. Of course, a honey pot would be I guess you could call it a utensil or a kitchen implement, you know, an earthenware jar to store honey. But I was reading, and apparently a honey pot is also, in computer lingo, is a trap set up to catch hackers or people trying to break into your system. Supposedly things are set up to attract and then contain the malware or anything happening. So honey pot takes on a different name. We've got a break for some messages here, and we'll start to look at some of the H words. We've got halibut, we've got ham, herbs, hollandaise, lots of things to talk about, and of course water and the importance in cooking. New York Times Magazine yesterday, a little article on how to get a nice, use water with the starch of the pasta to make a nice little creamier sauce for the pasta. Chef Bill's Table.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call Assure Shred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
You shouldn't give for the accolades. You shouldn't give for the backpats. You shouldn't give for the tax breaks either. At Jersey Mike's, we think you should give for one reason and one reason only. To give. Come in to any Jersey Mike's location during March for our month of giving. And join us as we help support local charities across the country all month long. It's your chance to get a tasty sub sandwich and help do something good for the community you call home. And on Wednesday, March 25th, Jersey Mike's is proud to be donating 100% of sales to a charity right in your own backyard. Jersey Mike's. Help nourish. Help flourish. Be a sub above.
Table here, Chef Bill. Let's see what we can get into here. So with the hydrating, very important, of course, water day yesterday. So cooking, when the chef, the magazine article, I didn't get to the whole thing. I just happened to skim through it. So we know when we're cooking pasta, of course, we need a fair amount of water, although lately some of the attitudes have changed on that, that you don't need a gallon of water for a pound of pasta. I guess it depends on the shape, too. If it's long noodles, you want enough space in there to, especially with dried pasta, to be able to stir it around. But some people are saying now we don't need as much water to cook pasta. I still like a fair amount. And what the chef does, so at the end, after the pasta's cooked, and of course you'll see some recipes, especially clear sauces or even or anything, save a little bit of the starchy pasta water and help finish the sauce. Of course, if you're using a pesto, something, an herb sauce that doesn't have a lot of liquid to it, it kind of helps, we call it the hang time or the travel time. If you're not sitting right there and eating the pasta right out of the, as soon as it's tossed, then it has to sit a few minutes. A little water helps kind of stretch out the sauce a little bit, and it will get absorbed back with the pasta anyway. So what I like to do is, if you stir the pasta initially so it doesn't stick together, and then let it simmer. You don't need really the rolling boil. That's sometimes too much of the water evaporates. But then after draining, again, save some of that water, and what the chef does is stirs the pasta vigorously with a fork, or if it's small ones, more with a spoon. and releases some of the starch to help even make that water have a little bit more creaminess, especially if you want something to have a little viscosity and you don't want to add a lot of fat to it. Of course, this is a good technique. And we see it happen with rice also. The Italian rice, the risotto, is of course a short grain, very starchy rice, and the risotto is gently stirred as hot broth is added. Once the aromatics, the vegetables have been sauteed, and of course saute the rice a little bit to toast it, and then you start adding your hot broth slowly. But it's as much the stirring process kind of releases the starch, so the risotto should be nice and creamy. Other end of that spectrum, of course, the pilaf, or steamed rice, we want to use kind of a formula, two parts liquid to one part rice, although bigger, but larger the batch gets that ratio. You don't need quite two parts water to one part rice. But in the case of a pilaf, you want to not stir the rice. Don't disturb it when you're making a paella, which we'll get into today a little bit, some variations, national paella, Spanish paella day, the 27th. Make a pot of that this week. So the paella, even once you saute the rice and add the broth, I mean, I like to stir it just to make sure there's no clumps of rice or anything in there, and then again we leave it alone, let it simmer. And actually, in the case of the paella, if the little crust forms on the pan, that's a good thing. The soco, they call that. That's at the end when all the water's been absorbed, and usually just the residual heat, especially if you're doing it over an open fire. The pan's hot enough to kind of caramelize that, some of the rice, it'll stick to the bottom, and that's a delicacy. You try to have a little bit of that in there. So if you get a little bit of dark browning with your paella, don't worry about it. It's supposed to be that way, and enjoy the treat. It was still September. But with paella, with jambalaya, pilaf, when you bake the rice in the oven, of course, once the hot liquid is added, and I say I like to stir it just to make sure the grains are all not clumped together, and then cover it and bake it in the oven. Always let the rice rest a little bit after it comes out of the oven. Even saying too with rice, just hot water, almost like rehydrating, doing a couscous, just the hot water. I know the last few minutes, instead of risking it overcooking or burning, which I guess that the same browning, you really don't want it in a nice pilaf or steamed rice, is just turn the heat off and keep the rice covered and let it sit for a while. And let that water will get absorbed, and then, of course, fluff it to loosen up the grains after it's done, and you've got a nice rice. And it seems with three ingredients, of course, water, salt, and rice, that shouldn't be too difficult to mess up, but oftentimes the simplest things are, and it's more about technique and patience. And different rices will behave differently. The shorter, starchier ones, good for, again, we said risotto. Some people even like those with the paella, like a medium grain rice, although most would use the converted rice. The medium grain gives you a little bit more of the starch coming off of there. Short grain rice puddings, or vanilla rice, we talked last week. I even like the arborio for that, because you get good starch coming off there. Thickens up a rice pudding or a vanilla rice very nicely. So water becomes part of a sauce. I know when I'm, say, if we're doing a light pan sauce, a butter sauce, and if the butter fat kind of separates, it looks like it's a little oily there or greasy, I simply add some water. If you get that 50-50 ratio of fat and water and boil it under a cover, you can get what's called a temporary emulsion. The activity of boiling will allow that to have that kind of creamy appearance without adding heavy cream. And of course, with a stock or a broth, water is the primary ingredient. Remember, if you're doing stocks or broths, always start with cold water because you want extraction of all the flavors from your bones or meats, vegetables, things like that. Always start with good, clean, cold water. Now, an exception to that, if you're using water, as we did in the Irish stew last week, to kind of, you're not really searing the meat, but it keeps some of the proteins in there. You don't get such a cloudy sauce. If you have your water or your broth at a boil and then add the cubed meat, it will be different than if you just start with cold water. Cold water, of course, your sauce will be more flavorful, but you will get those proteins drawing out of there. If you drop the meat in boiling water, bring it right back to a boil, it's, again, not like sealing in juices or anything, but you are keeping some of the proteins in there. It gives you a little bit clearer sauce. And then the steaming, of course, is very important cooking. Commercial kitchens rely heavily on steamers for quick cooking, preserves nutrients for bulk cooking of vegetables. No better way to do it. You can blanch things in the steamer, either a high pressure or a convection steamer, for just a few minutes and then chill them down in the water and keep for later service for sauteing or what have you. But steaming at home, a pressure cooker works well. Of course, those seem to have made a revival. People are using those. You want quick meals. It's a good way to do it. But also for your vegetables, you want a minimal amount of water. If you're boiling vegetables and you're draining the water, a lot of water-soluble nutrients get leached out of the vegetables. So as little water as possible. Once the water is boiling, creating steam, you don't need to boil it away, but a little steaming rack, something that sits in a pot so it keeps the vegetables outside the water, would help you if you like steamed vegetables. We always use a little water. That can help, too, if something's kind of getting away from you or frying something or whatever, you know, your pan gets overheated, not with oil in it, of course. You don't want to add water to oil. When you're doing that, you actually add more oil or dump the oil and add fresh oil and it'll cool the pan down. But always don't discount the addition of a little bit of water in anything. And of course, if you're using canned broth as your water, you have to watch that salt when it starts to, if it reduces too much or boils down too much. I actually like to use broth as a flavored water, even for sauteing vegetables, to add a little water, it adds the salt in there, a little bit of flavor. And of course, if you're vegetarian, you may not want to use a chicken broth, but kind of helps out. It disperses salt. Sometimes when we salt things, if we don't sprinkle it evenly and mix it around, then you get some salt pockets. You get a little too much salt in one and not enough of the other. So for me, the broth, or even, you know, salted water, it helps spread the seasoning around a little bit. We've got a break for news at the half hour, and I think might be talking about hams with Easter coming up. And of course, one of my favorite fish, halibut, Chef Bill's Table. Stay tuned.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. The first announced 2016 candidate for president is a first-term senator from Texas. Republican Ted Cruz released a 30-second video on Twitter overnight. The U.S. delegation to the United Nations won't join an Israeli-Palestinian human rights debate today.
The move is unprecedented since Washington has always defended its ally Israel at the forum on claims of violations in the Palestinian territories. The race is over at Starbucks. The head of the coffee chain announced Sunday employees will no longer be encouraged to write, quote, race together on coffee cups. However, CEO Howard Schultz says future Race Together plans include expanding into urban neighborhoods and hiring 10,000 opportunity youth over the next 3 years. The cost of filling up is going down. Gas prices are down 4 cents from 2 weeks ago. Stocks are opening mixed to start the new week. Investors seem to be pulling back a little with the dollar weakening and oil prices falling. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P 500 were up slightly in early trading, while the Nasdaq was lower at the opening bell. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Back at the table here, so exploring letter H. Actually, a few things up. We have hollandaise, if anybody knows that sauce, an emulsion of egg yolks, and clarified butter with a little bit of lemon in it. And of course, there's variations of hollandaise, and of course, usually we use a whisk to do that over a hot water bath. So you want to kind of partially cook the egg yolks. I suppose you could use your hand mixer if you wanted to, but a whisk, a nice balloon whisk, seems to be the preferred tool. Of course, some people, there used to be a blender hollandaise that people would do. And that's one that, you know, it kind of works, and some people use whole butter. I like to use the clarified butter to make the sauce and then save a little bit of that, the whey solids in the water to kind of thin it out at the end, give it a little bit of the texture that I want. So you get, if you have a strong emulsion there and it's very, very thick and kind of hard to ladle, that little bit of whey solids at the end. Then you can kind of control the thickness of it. You know, after I've used the lemon juice to season, that's the little bit of liquid at the end. Of course, hollandaise, great sauce to have with halibut, another H food. Halibut, one of the great fish in the ocean. Price can fluctuate year-round depending on if they're catching on both coasts or just the East Coast or the West Coast. It's basically, it's part of the flounder family. It's a big flat fish. But, of course, grows big enough so you can cut actual steaks out of it. nice, and it's snow white. The texture's, of course, a little firmer than flounder. And very lean fish. Does well with, you could grill it, poach it, pan roast it. Pan roasting is what we do with it. Very nice. Put a little brown crust on the halibut in some canola oil or clarified butter. I use the canola oil. Dust it with a little Wonder flour just to get a little bit crisper crust on it, and then you can finish it any way you want. But hollandaise would be having a nice lean piece of fish, and then, of course, it would do well with a rich sauce. Take to that sauce instead of gilding lily too much. The hollandaise would be a nice, tasty sauce to serve with halibut. And you could poach the halibut even if you want to save some of the calories. So you've got, you know, some calories in the hollandaise, but if you poach the halibut in a nice flavored liquid, use some nice herbs in there, dried or fresh, the hollandaise would be a good complement to that. Of course, we think of hollandaise at brunch with the eggs benedict and all the variations of that. I always thought when I was younger that it was kind of odd that you would take eggs and then put more egg on top, but it works. People love it. And then, of course, the variations of hollandaise, the Maltese with the orange in it, a slight orange flavor, traditionally done with asparagus, which is, you know, this time of year, spring's coming, one of the spring vegetables. And if you use tarragon vinegar and some chopped tarragon and parsley, then you end up with a béarnaise sauce, which is a classic for, again, lean meat. Filet mignon would be the one that comes to mind. Normally that lean filet, then you would gild it with a little bit of some nice, rich egg and butter sauce. So you kind of put the fat back on there. Tastes good. Speaking of herbs, another H word, and I guess a kitchen implement, you could say there would be an herb chopper. You know, I had one years ago. It actually was called a persillette. Persil is the French for parsley, and what this was, it was kind of spring-loaded. Had some, I don't know how to describe it, circular, kind of like, almost like a food mill, with a spring, a handle that would crank around, and a blade that brushed against some openings. If you think of the on a box grater there, the slicing part there, and you'd put some parsley sprigs in there, and this thing would kind of chop it, cut it, slice it, I guess. And that's what you want to do with herbs. You don't want to chop them too much. It's one thing if you want to bruise them and get some of the oils out, some flavor, say in a pesto or a chimichurri, one of those sauces there where you want to really get the flavor out. A lot of times for adding herbs at the end, you just want to actually slice them. And the chiffonade is one cut to use for that, the thin juliennes. You stack up the leaves and use the, don't chop, don't bang the knife like a hammer. You actually do a slicing motion as if you'd be, say, if you were slicing fruit or slicing meat. Just push it through deliberately, and so as not to bruise the herbs too much. It'll help keep the color and keep all the flavor in the herbs. So in that case, the herb chopper might not be what you want to always use. So as far as hams, now Easter coming up, of course, traditional ham dinner, at least it was in our family and a lot of places. I guess the ham going back, if that was the last, probably the ham and the bacon were the last things that in the days before refrigeration, of course, it was a way to preserve things. So If you had your little piggy there and you were eating the different parts of it, the ham would be something probably by the time it was cured. And then, of course, you smoke it. And even the cooler temperatures help keep it till spring. And there are some hams that aren't smoked. Of course, we start our favorite for just a roast pork. A lot of people like, of course, the loin or the tenderloin, but you get a piece of the fresh ham. And by fresh, just, it's white. It looks like roast pork when it's cooked. That's what it is. It's a little bit leaner than the loin and very good shaved thin for sandwiches or done as a roast. You've got a bone there afterwards, or you can get it boneless, but economical piece of meat. I guess the good use would be that Philadelphia pork sandwich that with the broccoli rabe and garlic and the aged provolone. The leg of pork's ideal for that. But that's a fresh ham. And then we have our cured, which would be our prosciuttos or the Spanish jambon. And these are cured and then air dried. And what curing does, of course, with the salts, and if you have some nitrites in there, the pink salt turns it the color. And it's an antibacterial type of thing. Plus the salts keep bacteria growth down. The water, as it dries, of course, bacteria need water too. The less water in there, the less chance you have of something going wrong. But you don't have the smoke flavor. And it's just simply dried, cured, and usually a pepper rub or some kind of, even some herbs on the outside. Pancetta would be the belly, the bacon that's cured. It's usually cured and then rolled up and then left to hang and dry a little bit. In America, of course, we like the smoked hams. And so we have your ham that's been cured in the brine or just done with a rub. Sometimes they're not cured. They're just done with they're salted and then smoked. And those Smithfield hams down there, very, when you're cooking one of those, actually, you need to simmer it first. You have to get the black pepper cure off of it, wash it off, and then simmer it for a while to basically cook it, kind of rehydrates it a little bit, and then what we would do is take the skin off there and glaze it. And actually honey makes a nice glaze for that too. A little honey and white wine and butter. Puts a little sugar on there, sweeten it up. The nice the salty ham with the sugar works very well. So you can have the whole thing. But when you're buying your ham, of course, the stores, watch the water added. Usually price follows quality in that case. If something's very, very inexpensive, there might be a lot of water added to it, which is all well and good, but when you're cooking it, the water runs out, it does leave behind the salt. Sometimes those hams can be a little bit salty when they're done. It'd be okay for a little ham biscuit or an hors d'oeuvre or something in small slices, but if you're trying to make dinner out of it, it might be a little bit too much salt. So the stores normally have the butt half or the shank half. The butt half is a little bit leaner, yields a little bit better, but it does have part of that H-bone in there. So carving it can be kind of a little difficult. The shank half, of course, the shank at the top there, that part, you save that, always good for enriching a pot of soup, either a bean or a pea soup. But the shank half, just the one bone through it there is a little bit easier to carve. But we'll go into some ham recipes next week before Easter. But just if you're out there shopping or if you want to order one, just watch the water content. It should tell you on the label, the salt solution. And then decide what you need, what your better use of it is. If you want the shank, if you want to make some soup, do you want the skin on or the skin off? The rind on there, if you score the rind, of course, it crisps up. And you got a nice little snack to eat also. And, of course, if there's only a couple of you, the nice center-cut ham steak is always a way to go. And that's, again, how the retailers break it down. You've got a shank and a butt half, and then center-cut slices are sold, of course, at a premium. And again, watch the water at it. But a pan-fried ham steak would be nice. Get some browning drippings in there and you can make some nice sauce. We've got a break for some messages here. We'll be back at the table.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Right, we're back at the table, so looking through the week here, trying to touch on a few things. National Spinach Day will be the 26th of March. Spinach, trying to come up with a spring salad. We've been doing the kale, Waldorf, all through the winter, and I know spring's kind of a quick season, although in the Northeast, I don't know when it's going to come. I guess when it comes, it will come quickly, but then for the summer bounty, you usually end up waiting, especially for Jersey tomato salad. But spinach is a great salad, and fortunately, year-round supply, pretty consistent in price, the fresh spinach. We use a lot of it, of course, as a vegetable at the restaurant, very popular. People either sautéed or steamed or creamed. Of course, it's a bed of spinach is underneath our knife and fork burger. People that don't want the rolls. But anyway, the salad, done a couple of versions, of course. A lot of times you see the hot bacon dressing with it, which is all well and good. Spinach is good because if it wilts a little bit under the hot dressing, of course, it's still, we eat a lot of it cooked anyway, so it works out. A mild flavor. Another one with the, we used to do it with the steakhouse dressing, we called it. And basically, tomatoey dressing based on ketchup. And we would puree some white onion in the food processor with some sugar and vinegar and then have the ketchup in there. So you got a kind of an onion, sweet, sour ketchup type thing, and of course the oil spreads the flavor out a little bit, so it's not like dumping ketchup on the thing. You are actually making a dressing out of it, a fair amount of oil, and so it's almost like a tomato, I guess you could say a tomato vinaigrette, but with that balance and of course all the flavorings that are in ketchup, makes it a decent salad dressing. So if you want something a little different, that would work out. Some people, of course, like spinach and gorgonzola, classic combination, but spinach is a salad right now, so I'm thinking maybe, spinach and artichoke. Artichoke hearts are another spring vegetable. That would go, if you're looking to do chip and dip day, the old classic spinach artichoke dip. I did a version of that with, I actually used frozen artichoke hearts instead of canned, so a little more flavor. And pureed those with some cooked spinach and a little bit of cream cheese and some hot sauce, a little absinthe, or you could use Pernod. I made a little topping for oysters, almost like, I wouldn't call it Rockefeller. I wouldn't pretend to even know that recipe, although a lot of people use spinach to do a Rockefeller. The original one didn't have spinach in it. But it makes spinach makes a nice stuffing. So whether it's a dip or a stuffing, if you want it as a dip, of course, just a little more cream cheese in there and some Parmesan, and you have a nice thing for your chips. Done another savory one for fish, especially little flounder. If you want to make little turbans or little rolls there. A little bit of onion and garlic, and we saute the spinach, white wine, and actually that one gets a couple of tablespoons of ketchup, a little secret ingredient there. And some herbs, whatever you like, oregano, parsley, And you need the spinach to be fairly finely cooked. A little butter in there, and then fold in some breadcrumb. And the nice thing about that is you can make it mainly spinach. The breadcrumb's in there to kind of hold flavor and hold moisture together, but we don't want this to be a real bready stuff, and we want mostly spinach. Or you could do a seasoned spinach and stuff the fresh ham. It comes tied, boned and tied. You simply untie it and spread your spinach, nice flavored spinach. You could do garlic, basil, salt and pepper, and kind of flavor the inside of the roast. Spinach is already cooked, so you're not worried about any hazards there, any safety. You're going to cook the pork fairly well done anyway, so the spinach stuffing will heat up. Also, as an herb, I've used spinach, and don't discount that very, very mild flavor, but sometimes you want even the appearance, some nice bright green in there, but spinach does have a flavor, and say if you have a little bit of it left, don't be afraid to chop that up with your parsley or basil and use it as a flavoring. And actually, that combination works too, and the basil comes out a nice spinach and basil salad, using basil as a salad green. Used to do that up at Chatfield's there. The first day the basil would come in, we would take the best leaves and mix it with spinach. We did a toasted pine nut dressing. I guess you think of like a peanut sauce, but we would toast the pine nuts and then flavor a little lemon juice and seasoning and some oil. Kind of a creamy sauce, not too thick, and you just want to toss it. You've got to have a little light sauce there and a little light hand with the tossing, because the basil would bruise easily, but very nice salad. So, got a lot to do this week. We've got spinach, we've got dips, the Spanish paella, definitely a great meal if you're looking for something not necessarily have to be just cold weather food. Other guys serve in the summer. It's great on a barbecue. Great dish. A little paella and some ribs. That's all you need. You've got your rice and vegetables and some other seafood if you like in there. It's a great centerpiece for your party. We've got to run now. Sue from ShopRite's up next. And we have to kind of do some news and make way. So enjoy Restaurant Week in Flemington. And the Township participating restaurants. So Chef Bill signing off. And we'll be back next week to talk about Easter coming up. Chef Bill's Table.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. The first announced 2016 candidate for president is a first-term senator from Texas. Republican Ted Cruz released a 30-second video on Twitter overnight. The U.S. delegation to the United Nations won't join an Israeli-Palestinian human rights debate today. The move is unprecedented since Washington has always defended its ally Israel at the forum on claims of violations in the Palestinian territories. The race is over at Starbucks. The head of the coffee chain announced Sunday employees will no longer be encouraged to write, quote, race together on coffee cups. However, CEO Howard Schultz says future Race Together plans include expanding into urban neighborhoods and hiring 10,000 opportunity youth over the next 3 years. The cost of filling up is going down. Gas prices are down 4 cents from 2 weeks ago. Stocks are opening mixed to start the new week. Investors seem to be pulling back a little with the dollar weakening and oil prices falling. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P 500 were up slightly in early trading, while the Nasdaq was lower at the opening bell. This is USA Radio News.
Have you ever had a piece of chocolate cake call you into the kitchen? Has the Dairy Queen sign ever forced your car into the drive-thru lane? Have you ever had a bag of chips dive off the counter right into your hands? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby, speaking for the ILikeHowILook.com website. Chances are, at some time in your day, you have been and will continue to be the victim of cravings.